The Vain Elephant. No. Thin rings of smoke rise like a spiral staircase from the cigar of Evaristo, who dangles on a branch pretending to read his magazine, colorful quilts flying high. There are some days that Evaristo is tormented by visions of the curved shapes of Ariosto, which have delighted and shocked the young adventurer's parrot and left him absorbed, bound in murky delights and fun. The first yellow and green orchid came to rest on the water, without being noticed, between the feet of the vain elephant Ariosto. Sitting in the shallow water of the shore, Ariosto continued to rub her skin with a smooth stone. My God, what wrinkled skin I have this morning! It must be the humidity of the lake. The second black and red orchid spiraled around the trunk of Ariosto and bobbed up and down, barely noticeable, next to the first orchid. Maybe it would improve if I take a mud bath. This smooth stone is useless. The third white and blue orchid floated in a respectable loop in the air and came to rest between the first two, always between the feet of Ariosto.
The elephant
arched her eyebrows, feigning indifference. She began to roll her big eyes, but forced herself not to turn around. Now that she thought about it, for a few minutes she had noticed what felt like a rustle, a current of air above her head. No one was ever allowed to spy on her while she was in the bathroom. Yet someone was spying. Who dared? Behind Ariosto, two little eyes, daring and fearful at the same time, continued to admire her from a well-hidden spot among the branches near the shore. Below those eyes, the bold and proud parrot Evaristo's beak munched peanuts and muttered words of admiration for the beautiful shapes of the elephant, quite unlike those other fliberty gibbets for painted feathers and scrawny bones. Finally, a satisfied Evaristo set off in flight and began to swoop and glide in front of Ariosto. My dear, I hope you liked my sweet floral tribute, or perhaps you would prefer a small punch of fresh shoots. A startled Ariosto pricked up her ears and her trunk. Who are you? How dare you? Furious, she hauled herself out of the water and fled to the shore, reaching a placid
parade of elephants.
All of these happened on a warm, sunny late morning at the lake. Throughout the afternoon, Ariosto, much to the surprise of the herd, did nothing more than rubbing and preening on tree bark, regarding the reflection in the flat pools of water on the train of the herd, and looking up through the branches at the slightest rustling. None of the elephants said anything explicit about it, and there was nothing to worry about. Soon, the low shoots on lake shore would finish, and the whole
parade
would move elsewhere, far, far away. Ariosto would follow. She couldn't bear some parrot's nest. And so the herd pretended indifferent and continued to tear off the shoots in silence. However, when Ariosto began to flap her big ears, running toward the lake and leaping into the water with a big splash so many times in succession, the herd couldn't help but turn around to stare at her with curiosity. Ariosto felt compelled to explain aloud.
I needed to freshen up. What did you think? That I wanted to learn to fly?
Naturally, the tribe of parrots also had followed the progress between Ariosto and Evaristo since their first meeting. If an elephant is an animal considered to be serious and reserved, none of these can be said of parrots. Nature has endowed the parrot with a beak as hard as steel to enable it to grind down its prey. From each branch in the treetops, every parrot began to gossip with its neighbor, heard by all. Evaristo's family has always been really weird. Do you remember his first cousin? Her name was Evarista. She was dating a blackbird, and all the time she was saying that a judge had her. If anyone asked her for an explanation about the small yellow beak of her blackbird, Evarista would reply seriously that it was due to the fact that the blackbird was a member of the high court. Now came the turn of narcissistic Rainbow. He, after seeing his tail feathers in a mirror, appeared to remind them. What would we say about blessed Budgerigger, the uncle of Evarista, who wanted through his prayers to train monkeys to fly so they could become like us? Professor Dryfeather remembered a distant relative of Evaristo, Dr. Subtle Pig, who had studied abroad and published the essay Parrots and Monkeys Together, A Future in Imitation. The parrots went on like this for hours on end. The beat and the squawk of their beaks was like an orchestra of vibrating hammers. The glowing sunset after the heat of the day left the hairs of the elephants gently blowing and sighing softly during the tepid night. Halfway through the next morning, a garland of flowers rested on Ariosta's head. But this time it was not a surprise like the previous morning. In fact, in the water, Ariosta saw the reflection of Evaristo's open wings as he glided slowly toward her head from the tall tree tops with a twisted petal circle held in his beak. Crown for you, my little queen. Ariosta did not know what to say. It was a highly unusual situation. How behave in such a case? As everyone knows, elephants have specific rules for each occasion. No one has ever seen one of them improvise or behave in an unpredictable manner.
A herd of elephants is like an exclusive club, only open to their fellows. Have you ever seen one of them chase another animal or even greet them? This intervention by Evaristo was quite unexpected, an embarrassing situation. What strange comportment, and why pick me? She thought that his short, colorful tail gave him a regal air. Could he be a prince in disguise?
Indeed, she still did not know what to do. Should she keep quiet and leave bristling, or respond with courtesy? Elephants are guided by the rules of their own instinct in every circumstance. Where do you find instinct when you are dealing with a parrot? There were no precedents. Eventually, she decided on a reserved attitude and behavior. Ariosta slowly rose from the water with all the dignity she could and headed for shore. She had already almost repented and was about to turn around when a terrible trumpeting made her wince. Is there ever a goddamn time one can stay quietly in the same place? It was the leader of the herd of elephants who was giving a fatal kick to a tree from which he had just snatched the last bud in trunk rain.
Ariosta shivered when she heard the trumpeting. It was time for the herd to depart from the lake. The shoes to eat were over. The leader of the herd began marching first, trumpeting two blasts from his raised trunk and onward. One by one the elephants turned their backs on the lake and moved into the woods behind their leader.
Ariosta moved last with a strange gait. She dawdled and sometimes stopped with her big ears open on the off chance she might hear a rustle in the trees. Then she turned, pretending to rub against a log to dry off her wet skin. Eventually, so as not to lose sight of her, Ariosta resigned herself to trot along with her trunk to the ground. She proceeded in silence, when suddenly a bug, warmed by the sun, came to rest on her back and sent a thrill of pleasure along her spine. Then another bud, followed by another, and more and more. Evaristo, who previously perched on a branch, had followed her and broken off the shoots of the treetops where the sun is hottest to place on Ariosta's back. In the beginning, this was enough. Ariosta remained silent and just smiled. Later, the elephant whispered these words unto him. My lord parrot, I see you insist on following me. Would you mind removing the insect stuck between the folds of skin inside my left ear? The parrot flew gently around Ariosta's ear and disappeared inside. Ariosta felt soft feathers and a thin beak on her skin and sighed in a sensation of mild shiver. Ariosta shivered.
Next time I have to dry myself more carefully after bathing,
she scolded herself.
The parrot stepped reluctantly out from Ariosta's ear.
Ariosta saw him circling around her head and assumed a casual attitude, but eventually decided to talk to him again.
Now, after this, do not think that you have talent, my lord bright feather. However, since I have seen you hanging around me, you fill my head with peanut shell. There would seem to be a better use of your time. Perhaps you could break me a coconut enough with which I could smooth a few little skin folds. The parrot replied, oh, I will tone you up very well, my lady. Let me handle everything. So the parrot broke a coconut and, with a rough edge, his beak brought it to skim and file her skin, delicately turning vertical circles with this tool and causing even more of a thrill, similar to the one that you achieve when grating cheese. Ever since then, when Ariosta complained about the heat, Evaristo would fly up and blow a small cloud until it came to rest above the elephant and leave her in the shade. The other elephants in the herd were complaining all the time, because they could not understand where their peanuts had gone. The tribe of parrots took Evaristo's departure in a practical spirit. Fewer parrots meant more peanuts to share. This put an end to their gossip for the moment.